are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
If you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. Again, good morning. It is a thrill and a joy to be with you. I'll give you a very brief update while you're turning to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We traveled from 2002 to 16 in full-time itinerant ministry. And in those years, we were in over 400 churches in 40 states, had a great 14 years. We've stopped traveling full-time. We still travel part-time. That's why we're here this weekend. We were in Illinois and Wisconsin back in April and May in meetings. I am a Uber driver. Have you heard of Uber? I'm an Uber driver down in South Carolina, also Lyft and Uber. And then something's come up just this year, in January, a man in our church has a very successful dog breeding business, not a puppy mill. All the litters are kept in people's homes. They're very expensive dogs, and my wife and I deliver them to the new owners. We've delivered as many as 8 dogs to 4 states and went 2,400 miles. It's a lot of work, and I won't even try to describe the work. Maybe you can use your imagination with that. But it's good money. In fact, probably in our average delivery in just a couple of days, I make what I make in 3 weeks Uber driving. So it's really good pay. And we enjoy it, something we can do together. And we get attached to the puppies, and we don't have to take care of them after that. we can just play with them and cuddle them and love them and then give them away and just enjoy it for a time, not have to have the ongoing care. So that's kind of what's going on with us. I am still an evangelist. I'm just not a full-time evangelist, and we do take meetings as God brings them in. We do preach there in the South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia area on weekends. Not every weekend, but when those come in. We're active in our church, and we are now, may I share our ages? She doesn't care anymore. After a while, you don't even care, right? I'm 71 and she's 68. And God has blessed us with good health. And if you ever are in Greenville, South Carolina, we have 2 extra beds, okay? 1 queen size, 1 regular size. And so you're more than welcome to come into our home, and we'd love to have you visit us. Have your Bibles open, please, to the book of Ephesians. I'll get there in just a moment. Our message today is serving Christ through the ministries of Faith Baptist Church. Pastor Obermiller certainly didn't tell me what to preach, but he did ask me to really emphasize today the ministries of this church, which you have many of, and many of them are starting, I believe, just today, kind of launching out for the rest of the fall and the rest of the school year. And so we want to really specialize on that today. Before we begin the message, I just want to say that I am very thrilled that Pastor Obermiller and his wife are here as your pastor. When a pastor leaves a church like I did in 1986, we were so blessed that Pastor Vincent Sawyer became your next pastor. He was actually my recommendation to the pulpit committee. James Chirion, who prayed, was on the pulpit committee of the church at that time. And there was other pastors that candidated, didn't get the vote, or got the vote and didn't accept the vote. And then Pastor Sawyer came and got the vote to be your pastor for 26 years. And now we have, I'm still doing it wrong? Okay. I probably should use a cordless.
You can't lean into the mic.
Okay. Okay, I'll do that. I'll try to stand up. I'm getting old and kind of bending over. I'll try to stand up. So just to know that another good Bible-believing, strong pastor is here means a lot to me. I'm sure you know this, but Mrs. Obermiller is a Swanson. How many knew that? Did you know that? Okay. If you don't know that, where have you been all your life? You know. But just to have the that ongoing legacy of the Swansons here for 26 years, faithfully serving, and now their oldest daughter being the next pastor's wife. That is cool, man. That is cool. That's great. Now, I asked permission this morning, because we're staying at the Burns house, and so is Christian. I got his permission on this. But maybe you've heard a rumor. How many have heard a rumor that he was engaged last night? Okay. He proposed. And they are getting married in November. And God willing, we're going to come up for the wedding. If we can. We'll see what happens. Now, this means a lot to me for several reasons. First of all, the Acosta family now live in New Jersey, but they were members here when I was pastor. So I didn't know you. You weren't around yet, okay? You weren't around yet. You hadn't been hatched yet. But of course, know your parents. And now Laura, his fiance, was on one of our New York summer evangelism teams. And she is an outstanding young lady. And you are in a treat for a really great assistant pastor's wife. She is awesome. And so we're real thrilled with that. So hope I was not out of line. But he's bubbling up here. Yo, see this guy. This guy's bubbling, man. He's just like overflowing over here. But we're really happy for you. Excited for you. Okay, now all those preliminaries are out of the way. We'll get going here. One thing that means a lot to me is that Faith Baptist Church is still a Bible-centered, biblical, gospel preaching church. As Don and I have traveled the country, we've seen all kinds of churches, including this one. The Cool Church. We saw we were in Tucson, Arizona, and a man came up to me with a brochure. He said, "Now, while you're here visiting in Tucson, you ought to go check out this church. It's a new church in town." And he was being facetious. He was kidding. But I mean, this church is so far out and just cool. Today, things in churches are meant more for entertainment than they are for preaching. Rock bands and entertainment and just a big show. But I'll tell you what, it means a lot to me that this church is still standing strong on the Word of God when so many churches are falling to all kinds of crazy things. Our message today is going to focus on two questions. And we're going to have two parts to the message. Just like Citi Field has a seventh inning stretch, we're going to have a midway stretch and sing a song and take a little break between the two parts of the message. But we're going to look at these two questions. Why do we serve Christ? And how do we serve Christ? Now we're to our verses. Please, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Stand as I read these verses, please. Ephesians 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's a very important sentence. For the equipping of the saints, equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, meaning a very mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If you look at the screen just for a minute, I want to emphasize something in that last part of the verse. By the way, I think you recognize that room. And I was preaching one summer there, and a youth group was there, and it was kind of packed out that day. But this is the emphasis we want to talk about. Come on, is this working? There it is. want to focus on every member of the body functioning and having a part in ministry. Let me read that phrase again. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. That is a very important part of the local church, making sure that the church members are functioning and doing their part in the church. Should we get the other mic? Is that what we want to do that? Okay, all right. Now, the question is, are you part of this body? Are you saved? Anybody here saved? Say, amen. Okay. Now, if you're a part of this church, if you've joined this church as a member, you are a part of this body. But are you functioning in your role and are you contributing in the nursery, in children's Sunday school, in front line, in proteins, in afternoon growth group Bible studies, in ushering, in choir, church cleaning, outreach? Are you doing one of those ministries? Are you taking part in a ministry? It's great to attend. Yeah, we're glad you're here. You need to come faithfully. The church is more than just attendance. Church is involvement. Church is ministry. Church is everybody doing their share. And, listen, folks, we're a body, but also there's teamwork involved. There's teamwork involved. I love this picture. Together, each achieves more. They wanted that food off that countertop, you know, and sometimes it takes a little cooperation, a little teamwork there. And we need to work as a body to achieve great things for the Lord. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a word of prayer, please, before we begin answering that first question. Why do we serve Christ and others? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use this message in all of our lives and hearts. Thank you, Father, for this great church. And Father, it's 4.5 decades old. And the 50th anniversary is coming up in just a few more years. But Father, you may come before that. The Lord Jesus could come for us long before that. But help us to be busy for you until you come. May you find us occupying. May you find us doing your ministry, your work until you come. Father, I ask your blessing upon the rest of this service. And fill me with your Spirit and fill the audience with attentive hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you seated? Getting right started, okay? You have notes in front of you. Inside of the bulletin that you were given was notes. And there are a few more out there in the foyer. If anybody needs one, we can make sure you get one. There's nothing to fill in. There's no blanks to fill in. I did that on purpose so you can just listen. The first reason why we need to serve Christ and others is because it is living like Christ lived. Don and I sang Down from His Glory. And the verses for that are Philippians 2, 5 through 8. I'll read them to you. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. When we get saved, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God has a plan for every single one of us. It says in Romans chapter 8, the first part of the verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God's plan for your life is for you to be someday just like Jesus Christ. Now, you'll never be another Jesus. There's only one of him. But the Lord wants you to be like Jesus. So he wants you to be a servant like he was a servant. He wants you to have a servant spirit, a servant's heart. The picture that you see here is preparing to wash feet. Jesus Christ in John chapter 13 washed his disciples' feet. Talk about humility. My mother grew up in a church of the Brethren in Michigan. Her grandfather was the pastor. And can we just
turn this off, or is it? This mic is off? This is off? Okay, I think that was the problem, right? Both mics? Okay, good. It felt like I was getting too many waves up here. As I was saying, my mother grew up in a church where they had foot washing services. I know you don't do that here. But what they would do, they would sit in a circle, and there was a bowl of water and a towel. And everybody had their shoes and socks off. And you washed the person's feet to the right of you. And then they did that, and they did that, and they did that. I've never participated in a foot washing service. But I think that would be a little bit humbling, wouldn't it? To have to wash somebody else's feet. Jesus did that. Back in those days, there was no enclosed shoes. They were all open sandals, no socks. Feet got very, very dirty. And Jesus humbled himself and stooped down and washed the feet of his disciples. That's a servant's heart. And that's the way that we need to be. A man that I really love in the Lord, he was a president of a Bible college in Wisconsin for many years. He said, his name was Les Olah, he said, "The greatest servant is the one with the dirtiest towel." The greatest servant is the one with the dirtiest towel. A second reason why all of us need to have this servant's heart for others is because it's living out who we are. It's living out who we really are. Take your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We are to be servants. We're called servants many times in the Bible. So serving Jesus Christ and others is just really living out who we really are. We're servants. Until you were saved, you and I were absolute slaves to our taskmaster sin. We were in bondage to sin. You were never a free person. You were always a slave to sin and Satan. But when Jesus Christ came into your life, He set you free. If the Son will set you free, you'll be free indeed. Praise God. We're set free from our sin and our bondage. The chains have fallen off. It says here in chapter 6, verse 12, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Verse 20, skip down to verse 20. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Verse 22. "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." So you're a slave. You were in bondage to sin. That was a bad taskmaster. But now our master is not a bad taskmaster. He's a wonderful Lord. And we're supposed to serve Him because that's who you are. We're servants. You've been set free from sin so you can serve God effectively. Now take your Bible to the book of 1 John, please. Number 3. We're moving quickly through these. Number 3. A third reason why we need to serve Christ and others is because it's living for others that shows our love for Christ. When you pour yourself into other people and show them love, you're showing your love for Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11, 1 John 4, 7 through 11, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." We had a wonderful time at the prayer meeting yesterday. I haven't been in a six-hour prayer meeting in quite a while. We went from 8 o'clock till 2 o'clock. It was wonderful. It was a great time. A pastor asked if I would lead songs, and Donna played the piano, and we sang some songs. We taught some songs. We had a really good music time as well as a prayer time. It was a wonderful 6 hours. We sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, and we pray 5 minutes. That was a good 6 hour sweet time. Pastor gave out a sheet of paper yesterday, and I don't know where he got it, but it was a really long list of all the one another's. If you look at your notes, I believe it's in your notes, there's a, under number 3, there's my list of one another's. There's 18 of them. Okay, just if you'll look at that list real briefly with me. Let me just read these to you. I put them in alphabetical order. I like alphabets. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Bear one another's burdens. Bear with one another. Be forbearing. Comfort one another. Edify one another. Encourage one another. Forgive one another. Greet one another. Honor one another. Love one another. Pray for one another. Prefer one another before yourself. Provoke one another to love and to good works. Serve one another, show kindness to one another, and submit to one another. 18 things, and they're all wonderful things. That's a whole great message series there sometime. The verse for serve one another is Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. There's a good poem, a good song called Others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do for to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee. Jesus lived for other people. When you look at the life of Christ in the four Gospels, He never was consumed with Himself. There was one time when He said to His disciples, let's go apart and rest a while. When you study that passage of Scripture, I don't think they got their break. It doesn't show that they had a little vacation. It doesn't show that there was a little reprieve. There was the feeding of the 5,000. There was healing of people. They just went from activity to activity. Jesus was always ministering to other people. We need to be like Him. Pour our lives into other people. And when we do that, we're doing these things. We're evangelizing. We're witnessing to people, showing them how to get saved. And then we bring them into the church to edify them, disciple them, and train them. We need to be examples. We need to model Christ in front of especially newer Christians so they see an older Christian really living for Jesus Christ. You model the gospel to people. And then we also encourage them and encourage them to grow in the Lord. Aren't you glad we come to church? Aren't you glad to get out of the city environment? Amen. And to be in a place where there's smiles. I love New York City subways. They're so encouraging. Just get a real blessing riding the subway, right? Everybody's frowning and scorning, and everybody's looking like this. And just to be in God's house and see some smiles and get some hugs and have love, it means so much. It means so much. Going on, number four, fourth reason that we should be serving Christ and other people is because it's living a fulfilling life. A self-centered life is very empty. A self-centered life is empty. Without turning in your Bibles, the example of that is the man Solomon. Now, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. And when you read the book of Proverbs, you see great wisdom. He was the wisest man next to Jesus who's ever lived. He wrote all of those Proverbs. And I love the book of Proverbs. But he wrote the book of Proverbs when he was really more close to God. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes after a time of wandering from God. We would say he was very backslidden. He had all those many, 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 many wives. He accumulated wealth. He just had all of these possessions. The power went to his head. He had all of these servants, everybody waiting on him. And he said, At the end of that time, all was vanity. The word vanity means totally empty. Empty. His life was empty when he was rich and famous and all these women and all this power and all this prestige. When he wasn't living for God, it was empty. Don't live an empty life. Live a joy-filled life. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Most people, when it comes to a church meal, when we were here, we had an evening service. Now, I think it's very wise to have a refreshments and an afternoon service. That's a lot wiser these days. We had an evening service. So about once a month or so, we would have a church potluck dinner, and it was always international. And it was delicious. It was excellent. But you know, you can kind of tell how people are when it comes to food. You want to be the first in line. Want to be first in line. Okay? Well, let others go first. That's joy. Give yourself to other people. When you're wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. Number five. When we serve Jesus Christ and others, it's living for eternity. I don't have a verse for this necessarily. There would be verses for this, I'm sure. But just the thought that when we serve Jesus Christ and other people, we are living for eternity. There was a missionary by the name of C.T. Studd. Back in his day, he lived from 1860 to 1931. He was a famous athlete in England, a cricket player. Not the cricket you hear in the bushes at night, but the sport cricket. And he was very famous in England at the time. He was big time. He'd be a big star then. He left it all to be a missionary. And here's a famous poem of his called "Only One Life Will Soon Be Passed." Listen to just a couple of stanzas of it. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, Thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'Twas worth it all. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I mentioned my age, 71. Can't believe I'm 71, but I am. Can't change it. And I may have a decade left. I may have a couple decades left. My mother passed away in January. A wonderful Christian woman. She was 95. I might have her genes. We'll see about that, whether I have her genes or not, whether I live another 2.5 decades. But a good percentage of my life is gone. I've lived most of my life. I want to live the rest of my life for God's glory. I want to serve Jesus and want to make my life count for eternity. I hope you do. Reviewing those five things, those are the five reasons we should be serving Jesus Christ. We're going to shift gears now and answer a second question of how are we supposed to serve Jesus Christ. But first, this song, "Don't Quit," and I'll let them operate it from there, the words. Just very briefly, a story, and I'll make it short. By the way, the next half of my message is shorter than the first half, okay? Can I have an amen on that one? Okay. We came here in September of 74. We actually got here in the summer, but started our first service in September. And a year and a half later, in the spring of 76, the bicentennial year, I was very discouraged. I was discouraged for a silly reason. God was blessing our little underground basement church. We had a room that was not even the size of these pews. It was about 15 feet wide and 50 feet long, and that was our church for 3 years. It wasn't even that full size because there was a bathroom and nursery, a bathroom and laundry room in the back. There was a stairway coming down. There was a dry bar where there's no alcohol. It took up some of the space. So we didn't even have a full 15 by 50. It was all cut up. Upstairs was our nursery and Sunday school classes on the third floor. So we just walked down the steps to church. We had a really long drive to church every day. But we had many services in the first year or so with nobody came in the evening services. We had Sunday night, Wednesday night service. We had many that nobody showed up. That was discouraging. We had a pastor that came to another borough of the city. He had come a year after I came. I was here a year and a half. We had about 25, 30 people coming. Now, I really should have been very thankful for those people. I should have rejoiced in the people that we had. But I looked at somebody else who had almost three times as many people in just a few months. And I was looking at the numbers that he had, and I was discouraged over that. That was silly. It was immature of me, very immature of me. And I was actually thinking of quitting, just throwing in the towel, chuck it out, forget it. This is too hard. I'm not going to start a church. This is too much work. Then I went to a pastor's conference, and the theme for several days was don't quit. And that's all we heard for several days. Don't quit. Don't quit. And the speakers were men who had gone through many, many difficult times, and they didn't quit. And it was just really a rebuke to me. I came back from that conference in the spring of 76 and wrote this song, which we'll sing now, and then get right into the rest of the message. But I tell you, you can't quit. If I had quit, this building would not be your church building. Just a few months after I wrote this song, just a few months later, this building started to take shape. And we left a little basement church to this big building, and we didn't know how to act in this big building. I mean, coming from a little small, little dinky place about the size of half this building to three floors and all this space, it was wonderful. But I almost quit. Don't be weary. Now to our second question. How do we serve Christ and others? Give you a little English grammar lesson here. There's nouns and pronouns and adverbs and adjectives and all those parts of speech. An adverb describes a verb. It usually has an ly ending. And so we're going to be looking at five adverbs, some adverbial admonitions to have a life that serves Jesus Christ. Most people have wrong conceptions of what heaven's going to be like. How many have ever seen a picture of saints of God with halos playing a harp on a cloud? You ever seen a picture like that? Okay. That's just a famous heavenly picture of that's what heaven's going to be like. We're just sit around on clouds and play harps. And now I play the guitar. I hope I'll be able to take my guitar and get it up in heaven with me. I love to play. I don't know if instruments will be in heaven, but as we are there, one thing that we do in heaven is we're still going to serve. Did you know that? There's a great verse that the reference is Revelation 22:3. Revelation 22:3. It says, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." So you need to start practicing. Practice up, because in eternity, you're going to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So get ready for that. Now, how do we do it? That's the next theme of our next few minutes. And we'll probably go just about another hour and a half. That's all right? No, we'll just go a little bit longer. I want to talk about the Apostle Paul. What a hard worker he was. Do you realize how many churches he started? All over the then known world, in Asia Minor, which is Turkey, and up in Greece, and Italy. All of those places where he started churches. He was an apostle. I already read the verse from Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He has the story, or he has the how-tos of serving Jesus Christ. Now, there's other epistles besides his. Of course, John wrote epistles, James and Peter. But I'm going to quote all the verses we're going to turn to are going to be from Paul's letters. He knew how to work. He was a diligent worker for Jesus Christ. And he expresses that in his epistles. Now, how are we supposed to serve Jesus Christ? Number one, humbly. Take your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're supposed to serve Him humbly. I had a story to tell about our call to New York City. I hesitate taking the time to tell it. I can abbreviate it very quickly. I'll do that. I was in chapel October 2nd, 1972, just a few months after we were married. I'd been to New York City on a summer team in 71 and was there for actually 8 months. I followed up for 5 months after the rest of the team went back to school. And I was really burdened for New York City. But I grew up in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, in towns of 15,000 people, small towns, and a big city was not my cup of tea. It was just not what I was used to. And I was dating Donna, was going to propose to Donna, going to marry Donna. Didn't want to bring a Mississippi Southern belle to New York City. She grew up in the Deep South. Didn't want to raise a family here. Didn't want to fight the traffic and breathe the smog and get mugged and all those other things. Okay, I had all of these ideas of, you know, New York City is going to be this dangerous place and it's just going to be a terrible place to go. But God brought a man to a chapel at Bob Jones University. And he preached from Acts 20:24. None of these things moved me, neither count on my life dear unto myself. And the verse just before that verse, verse 23, says, I know that when I go to Jerusalem, bonds and afflictions await me there. Every place he went, he was either thrown in prison or he caused a riot or he was stoned with rocks or something. He was always had difficult times in cities. But he said, none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear to myself. This William Van Ryan was a missionary in Holland. And he stood up, and the very first thing he said, now remember, I was running. I was running from the call to come to this. I knew God was directing me here, but I was running from it. And the very first thing he said, as I was flying here from Holland, I was thinking of how badly my nation needs more missionaries. But then I flew in over New York City. I looked out the plane, about to land at Kennedy Airport, and said, now there's a city that I bet could really use a missionary. That's the first thing he said. He had my attention. He had my attention. And that day, God called us to the city. Donna was homesick from a job that she had at the time, and I went home to tell her what happened in chapel and the message, and I just wrote that song we sang earlier, More Precious Than Life. She said, Doug, you won't believe this, but in my devotions this morning, God showed me Joshua 1:9. And I surrendered whatever God called you to do. I surrendered to go with you. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And she wrote in her Bible, even New York City. I love Acts 20:24. And I trust that you will have a ministry based on Acts 20:24. None of these things move you. Okay, let's go back to humility. Look at humbly with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Humbly, serving our Lord humbly. Every gift and every ability we have is from God. Everything that you have, God gave that to you. So why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? That's what it says there in 1 Corinthians 4. Paul, in the book of Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 50, he said this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So when you serve Jesus Christ, don't do it with a cocky spirit. Don't do it with a proud spirit. Boy, I'm a great servant. I've got all these abilities and all these talents. And boy, people look at me and they must go wow when they see me. Paul didn't have that spirit. And any great Christian never has a cocky spirit. If you know a cocky Christian, stay away from them. We need to be servants. Next, we also need to do it diligently. But first this slide. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28 is probably the best New Testament passage on being a servant. Because two of the disciples, their mother asked Jesus, now when you come into your kingdom, can my boys sit on your right and left hand side? I mean, can they be next to you in the kingdom? Can they have a place of prominence? And Jesus talks to his disciples very, very firmly. He says, guys, listen. In the world, people want prominence. The Gentiles are seeking authority and being bosses and bossing people around. They want authority, but it's not so with us. Not so with you. I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be servants, minister to other people. Don't seek prominence, but seek service. Number two, we need to do it diligently. Serve Jesus Christ diligently. The verse in Romans chapter 12, I'll just read it to you. Romans 12:11 says, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." In your notes, you'll see four things. And I think all four of these things are a part of being diligent. And I'll just very quickly go over these. First of all, there's perspiration. I mean, hard work. Hard work. When Pastor Sawyer was here for his 26 years, do you realize that all three of these floors were completely renovated under his ministry? I mean, paint and just everything was renovated. When we were here, underneath these pews on the basement, those three classrooms used to be two bowling alleys, if you didn't know that. There used to be two bowling alleys downstairs. And they were nice to bowl on, but they took up a lot of room. And we needed more classrooms. We had to tear those bowling alleys out. Build those classrooms. This room back here, your overflow room, was a bar. About a 20-foot long oak bar. And we tore it out to put a nursery there eventually. A lot of physical work goes into ministry. And we need to have perspiration. But also promptness. I believe, and this is one of my pet peeves, okay? I'm going to give you one of my pet peeves. I believe that New Yorkers can learn to be on time.
Amen.
Okay? I really believe you can learn it. I know it's hard. And I tell you what, the more we come here year after year, the harder the parking gets. And I know that's a problem. But you just have to get up earlier. Just be on time. When we were here, we always started every service on time, regardless of who was here. Always started on time. Never waited for anybody. And if you have a ministry, you need to be early, not just on time. You need to be early. Promptness is part of diligence. Also initiative, going the second mile, going beyond what you're asked. Have some initiative. Have some, I use the word second-mileness. I know that's not a word, but go that second mile. Do more than what's expected of you. And then excellence. God deserves our very best. Amen? And do what you do with excellence, quality. Next, another way we should be serving God, how we do it, is steadfastly. Look at 1 Corinthians with me, please. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I've already told you my don't quit story, my almost quitting. I've already told that story. But it was verses like this, 1 Corinthians 15:58, that inspired that song. Be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Another verse is Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But 1 Corinthians, let me read that one again. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Too many people quit. We were here from 74 to 86. In just those 12 years that we were here, Don and I saw several pastors come and go. They would come for 2 or 3 or 4 years and leave. They'd try to start a church, get discouraged, and leave. We need to be steadfast. Pastor mentioned in the prayer time this morning that in season, out of season, there's times churches have their cycles, have their seasons. There's times when a church is really growing and producing and there's a lot of growth and excitement. There's other times when things are down. The numbers are down. Attendance is down. And sometimes what happens, Christian friend, are you listening? What happens is when things go down, we need to find another church where there's more attendance or more happening or whatever else. No, you just stick it out. You just stick it out. You just stay faithful. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We live in a town, it's about 300,000 people, and there are dozens of churches. I mean dozens of good churches like this one. And Greenvillians have a very bad habit. They're church hoppers. Something goes wrong, something is said they don't like, they'll just go to another church, and then something they don't like, they'll just go to another church. There's something there they don't like, they go to another church. We see all the revolving doors all the time. Listen, folks, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Next, heartily. The verses that are there on the screen, you can look at later. They're there in your notes. You want to keep moving. How are we to serve Christ and others? Heartily. Look at Colossians with me, please. Colossians 3:23. Just one more to go after this. Heartily. How many have ever been to a Mets or a Yankee game? Can I see your hand? Okay. Everybody just sits there like bumps on the log in the crowd, right? They just kind of sit there and know they cheer, right? We used to live in Wisconsin from 87 to 2009. It's the frozen tundra. Wisconsin is a very cold state. A lot of snow, a lot of freezing weather. And the Lambeau Field where the Green Bay Packers is in northern Wisconsin, in Green Bay, towards the top of Wisconsin. Do you realize that men paint themselves green and yellow with no shirts on and stay in cold, freezing weather for 2 or 3 hours with no shirt on, painted green and yellow? Crazy. But they've got enthusiasm. You and I are called fanatics. We're religious fanatics. We're crazy. How about the Green Bay Packer fans in freezing weather, 3 hours in freezing weather with no shirt on, cheering their heads off? We need to be enthusiastic about Jesus Christ. Enthusiastic. We read this verse, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So So do things with all of your might. Last thing, you've been so kind and so patient and listening well. I appreciate that. Next, faithfully. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 talk about our stewardship, being a good steward. And stewards are to do what they do faithfully. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim each one his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 25, 13 says, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Let me explain what that is saying. I lived in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. I grew up in a lot of farm area. And in the summer when I got to be a teenager, I worked on some farms. And we would take hay that would be made into hay bales, and we'd pick them up off the ground and lift them up onto a wagon. And then we would go back to the barn and get them up in the hayloft and stack them up really high in the hayloft for the cows to eat. Right? It was always, always hot. Usually in August when we did this. And we wore a long sleeve shirt so we wouldn't get all scratched up with the straw and the hay, because it was very scratchy. And so, I mean, talk about sweating. We were hot and sweaty, especially up in that unventilated hayloft. It was terrible. Like you're going to die with exhaustion of heat. Just imagine if we were out there in the field baling hay and putting it up on the wagon and it would start snowing. Yes, it's snowing. Talk about getting cooled off. All that snow just comes on you and just refreshes you. Do you realize that God is blessed with faithful people? One of the greatest things for a pastor, and I know this is true of your pastor, he appreciates faithful people. Snow is refreshing in the harvest when it's so hot. If it snowed, it would be great. Faithful people are refreshing. As we close, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the founder of Bob Jones University, had a lot of chapel sayings. And one of those sayings was, the greatest ability is dependability. And that's so important in service. If you have any ministry in this church, be dependable. Be faithful. The words that I want to hear someday from the lips of Jesus Christ are, well done, a good and faithful servant.
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We are conveniently located in Corona, New York City, and are devoted to loving God and making disciples. For more resources and helpful information about our church, visit studygodsword.com. We'd also like to extend a personal invitation for you and your family to worship with us on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, followed by a luncheon and an uplifting time of interactive Bible study for teenagers and adults after that. If you have young children, they will really enjoy our exciting Bible-based children's ministry that also occurs in the afternoon session. If you have any questions about the church or would like to learn more about how to have a personal relationship with God, please give us a call or leave some feedback at studygodsword.com. We would be thrilled to meet you in person and show you firsthand what God is doing at Faith Baptist Church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.